Hello, welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy Vermal.
And we had to get drunk for this one.
Yes. I didn't get drunk enough. I need to be drunk.
I do as well. We need to drink our drinks. Anyway, sorry. We're discussing season two.
Upstairs, downstairs.
Season two, episode four. All the things you are. A bitch.
No. Well, that's at least one character.
It's multiple mothers.
Actual name of the episode does not include the words bitch.
But it should.
It depends on the main character you think is the main character. There are a couple people who are bitches in this, for sure. So we have our usual caveats, which include that there 100% will be cursing. There already has been. We are going to have spoilers for this show. Again, it is a watch. We got emotional about this. There must be something going on here.
Listen, I remember when we first watched this season, I was screaming at the TV.
You know what? You screamed at it this time.
I did.
It's true.
I can't help but feel so much rage.
There's rage to
I was so I felt so spare. Much female rage. And I
it's not like, just female rage.
No, it's just rage. It's unisex rage. And I
really don't think we need to have genderized the rage here, but okay.
That's why I said unisex. Anyway, I am so upset. I'm so sorry for this episode because it's gonna be so unhinged.
Because we're really fucking pissed off. But
we're not even that drunk. We're just really annoyed.
This isn't the worst episode yet. So there's more to come. Anyway, we also are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having a little mini bottle. Mini bottle of Pink La Marca Prosecco.
Yeah, which we had earlier. And if you
it's
look
to celebrate a show I'm in right now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But
I'm back to being in a show. You know how that goes great for me when
it's
recording.
It's a show that has pink. So there you go. Or it should. If it doesn't, it should. But yeah, so your drink is the brighter, more cool colored pink of the two pink drinks. If you look on our Facebook page,
you should follow our Facebook page.
Yeah, absolutely. All the drink stuff. Well, no, I don't put the recipes on there because I want you to listen. Damn it!
don't get mad. But
there are pictures. There are pictures of the drinks, and they're well worth looking at.
I also would love to say that there was a period of time where a lot of people were listening to our podcast, and by
there
a lot,
now,
I mean,
by the
like,
way, but we're back to like 200
listeners. Holy shit, crazy. You guys!
We love you.
We love you, but why are you listening to us talk about this? Like, we'd
because
love to
awesome?
Hear from you
because
about like why you
yeah,
listen.
Yeah, let me back up too because I need to like give you what I'm having.
Oh yeah, sorry, so sorry. Yeah.
So what I am having is a Cure Imperial, which is Chambord, and I use Prosecco rather than champagne, but you know what I mean. And because the Chambord is in it, it is more of a peachy pink as opposed to a pink, but hey, you were saying.
I would just like to say to all of our listeners, like, thank you. You did not need to like spend an hour or 40 minutes.
We're
or whatever.
Thrilled that you did. Though.
We're thrilled. We love that we're not talking to ourselves into a void. Well, except for to our one listener. Hi. Love you. But we really just did this, and I've been really introspective about it lately. Mm-hmm. Because I've been listening to it while I'm like at work and have not downtime, but like while I'm working, and it like listening to older episodes, and it really gets me introspective about like we just talk about stuff we really love or are very passionate about, and it's very cool to think that there are people out there who want to listen to us talk about that, and because there are a lot of people in our lives who don't need to hear. That's why I don't really share it all that much, because I'm just like, y'all know me enough that you don't need another dose of me.
Some people
being
do.
Really unhinged. But the fact that there are people out there, strangers, who like want to hear us like talk about something we're passionate about,
we
which
love
is
you.
We love you guys.
We
like thank
you
so much.
Yes.
And if we don't say it enough, like we really do appreciate that you guys are listening, and we'd love to hear from you at some point. But
yeah,
I mean, if you're just here to listen, we love you anyway.
Exactly. And we understand like connecting on social media is a pain in the ass.
It really
stuff.
Is a pain in the ass.
We
so
get
just
it, so.
Sit back, enjoy, and listen. It's going to be really
pour
unhinged
something.
This episode.
Drink something.
You might need a drink if it's not the middle of the day where you are, or even if it is. You might need something because this is about to get off the rails if you haven't watched this season of TV. It's crazy. So
we are doing Upstairs, Downstairs.
And season 2, episode 4, All the Things You Are. People are getting drafted for the Army. It's Johnny's birthday, and he gets a letter to go to military training.
Yeah, he's 18, so he's going to have to report.
I think he's 20. Because they said anyone between 20 and 21 need to go to, like, what? Anyway, they make light of it. They're like, oh, yeah, that's just cool, whatever.
Spargo is flirting with Errol.
And invites her to the movies, but she can't because it's Johnny's birthday and they were going to go out with him. And she also wants more than what she has and says they won't suit.
Right. What she means by that is that
she wants someone with ambition.
Yeah, he doesn't have ambition. He just is the chauffeur.
He's content with where he is, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's not what she's looking for.
No. We see that Amanjeet and Blanche are working on more refugee children, more people that they're bringing in. We've heard now that Hitler and Mussolini have joined forces.
Yes. Agnes, this is a great step for Agnes. This moment is a great step in her direction for Agnes. When she hears that from Hallam, she is immediately like, well, do you want to talk about it? I know that must be really horrible for you at the office. What's up? What do you talk to me? I'm open to listen. She says it in pretty clear, certain terms that she is willing to listen to what he has to say. And he says, oh, no, I'm not in the mood.
Right. Okay.
Which is fine to a certain degree.
Right. So having been in a marriage and having both been very busy people, I understand that, like, when something immediately happens, sometimes you want to go off the rails and bitch about it. Sometimes you want to process it first, then go off the rails and bitch about it.
As long as the person you're bitching about it to is
the right person. Right.
And not being like, well, I don't want to talk to you about it. And it's not like if I came home from work and I was pissed off about something and my partner, who I don't have, if anyone was curious, still listeners. Single. Listeners, I'm still single. I was going to try to make a metaphor, but it didn't work in my head. Anyway, so if I was pissed off and my partner was like, hey, I'm open to listen, I'd be like, thank you, but I want to think about this. Like, I need to process it, and maybe then I'll talk to you about it. That's fine. But the fact of the matter is, we know that Hallam's not doing that. He's being, like, really dismissive of that, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to talk to somebody else about it.
Well, right. And again, there are things like, you know, you want to talk to work colleagues about it, sure, as opposed to talking to your spouse.
But I get that.
But yeah, well, or like, you can't talk about it right now, but yeah, well, I'll catch you up eventually. But he's not keeping
her in the loop. He immediately is about to go through Percy's bedroom door. Mm-hmm. And she even like senses it with her like bitchy senses, and
no, that's the slut sense.
Sorry, slut sense. And we don't love slut shaming on this podcast. It may seem like we do, but we don't. In real life, we don't slut shame people. However, Percy is a slut. She's awful. And so they almost have like a moment, like, oh my god, there's so many things we can't say. It's like, no, they don't get that moment because that's not the relationship they should be having. They are brother and sister-in-law.
Yeah. And they don't really, I don't know, it's gross.
Anyway.
But he doesn't actually go in and talk to her. They don't speak right then. Meanwhile,
he wanted to. He immediately went from his wife being like, I'm open to talking to you, and him being like, oh, I'm not in the mood, and then goes immediately to Percy's room.
What I'm trying to do is maybe we were supposed to make the leap that he's thinking, oh, maybe Percy knows something about stuff Nazis do or what their plans are. I should ask her.
No.
But that's not ever what happens on this show. So
there's no nuance to this. No, there's no nuance at all.
Are you DTF? So
you know she is.
Of course she is.
She just had the abortion. I'm sorry. Trigger warning. She just had the abortion. She's prepped and ready to go.
Gross. So Meanwhile, the staff take Johnny out for his birthday. And
they're all having lemonade.
Yeah, so. But the pub where they are is the owner, I guess, or somebody comes in and says there's going to be a amateur boxing championship. And Harry,
specifically for servants.
For servants. And Harry's kind of like, Spargo, is like, hey, you know, maybe that would be a sign of ambition. And Beryl's kind of like, oh, and he starts thinking about how he wants to impress Beryl. And we see when they get home that he has a boxing medal.
Yeah.
And so.
But he goes about it the right way and goes to Hallam first and is like, listen, I want to do this thing.
Is that okay?
It's kind of like, for example, that's what you should be doing mm-hmm. with an employer. Like when I was talking to my boss about like the fact that I was still going to be doing theater outside of work, and maybe sometimes I'd have to like leave a little bit early. She was totally fine with it as long as I like communicated that with her. And right. that's how employers should be. But Hallam also is kind of short with him. And it's just like, well, it's very inconvenient. So I'm going to have to talk to my wife about it. It's like, okay, sure.
And Blanche kind of jumps in with him after he's Harry like, leaves. And she does it right. She's like, she doesn't do it in front of the servants, but no. She's like,
What's up with that?
What's up with that? This is somebody, and she equates it to Egyptian pharaoh.
It's also like one night off.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, I mean, there's going to be training involved.
But, yeah, but that's not really that.
But she equates it to someone fighting for your house or fighting for the pharaoh.
It's very honorable.
Yeah, it is. And she's like, this is a cool thing. She's clearly into boxing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That gets kind of
again, Blanche weird. Is awesome. She's very cool. Anyway, and again, I didn't expect to like her initially, but then she had this lesbian arc and then she got cool. You know,
I honestly started liking her a lot when she was working with the children.
That really redeemed her in my eyes. Yeah. And then she was a lesbian, and she still is.
She's been a lesbian all along.
Yes, but we realized we found out that she's a lesbian. She got done dirty, and so we're on her side, and I like that.
I'm not on her side just because she's a lesbian.
No, that's not why I'm on her side, Mom. Person. I'm on her side because she was done dirty.
She's a good person.
So. And the best thing to make me on your side is if you're done dirty by something or somebody.
Interesting things to note for future reference.
I don't, anyway, Agnes feels Hallam slipping away. Like, so for example, that night, like, he's just like, oh yeah, he mentions the Spargo thing, whatever. And she's like, hey, how about, I know you're busy, but how about we get dinner sometime this week? And he completely avoids answering.
Oh, he's like, oh, I've got work to do. I forgot.
I've got work to do tonight. I've got to go. He can't even answer a goddamn question about, oh yeah, maybe we can make Friday work or something, and then canceling that. He just doesn't want to spend time with his wife.
And she knows.
And he avoids awful. Going to sleep and stays up going through papers.
And fucking cursing.
Well, she also, another thing that Agnes does to like even make me more on her side is she's like, oh, you have stuff to do? Oh, I can wait up and we can talk about something afterwards. And we can talk about like sometimes.
He totally rejects her.
And he completely is like, oh no, you go to sleep. And it's like.
And I put in all caps, fuck. Because fuck he off. Goes downstairs and he's working on stuff, and Percy comes in.
He stops in his tracks. He stops everything, and he immediately attends to what she's talking about.
Right, she's like, "Oh, I need my book." He was sitting on her book. This is retarded. And then, like, as she goes to leave, he grabs her wrist, and Pritchard is bringing
What she says is, "The world might be crumbling, but as long as we can save poor Percy," and then he says in a very seductive tone, "Don't tease me."
Right.
No.
And that's where Pritchard walks in. And no. Pritchard's like, what?
And then he's like, Pritchard, go to sleep.
He's like, go to sleep. Like, yeah, like,
it's like, go to sleep.
No, that's not a thing. And Pritchard is like, yeah, but he has convinced himself, Pritchard has. And this it's comes so up as dumb. A theme that I see nothing. I have no opinions, whatever. It's like, that's
and I would like to say using the R word is like insulting to Pamela because Pamela would be smarter than this shit. Pamela is smarter.
She's way smarter than this.
She's so much smarter.
She's way smarter.
And Pamela, even though she has a mental disorder, she is so much more of a character than Hallam is now. It's well, insane.
Speaking of people who we're proud of, but anyway, he's not proud of.
Spargo.
We're proud of Pamela. Sorry. Moving on
we're
to
proud of Pamela.
Yes.
And she barely shows up. Anyway, Spargo is old, but he says he will still represent the house regardless. this, even though it's for like 16 to 18 year olds. He's like, I'm 31, but I'll still do it.
He shows up for the training. It's like, okay. Agnes is trying to raise money for the
Blanche's charity.
For Blanche's charity. And she has this little reception at the house. And there's not a good turnout for it. But Landry, our friend from America,
Blanche knows why.
Right, Blanche knows why, because like all their...
But Agnes is willing to do it regardless.
Right, so the reason why is because Blanche is in, is on the outs.
Yeah.
And they all, the only people who showed up wanted to gossip about Blanche and her lover. Yeah. And Landry shows up, and Blanche picks up immediately that there are sparks between Landry and Agnes.
Because Agnes has this nervous energy around Landry that she just doesn't anymore around Hallam. And you know what, that's part of marriage. Like, you get way more comfortable with each other. It's not like the first sparks of a relationship. But at the same time, she notices that she's kind of avoiding him in a way, like being like, oh, I don't know, or whatever. And then she's like, okay, I'm gonna snap out of this. I'm gonna introduce you. And then she gets run in her stockings, Agnes does, and she goes upstairs to change them. And Landry knocks on her bedroom door.
This is weird.
And gives her a new pair of his stockings. Like, he puts them on the door handle. He's like, hey, by the way, I left you something to help.
Beryl gets it, and they are new stockings with his label on them.
Yeah, so he's ventured into something else. Hallam decides that. No. Hallam is leaving work. And he's like with Spargo or whatever. He's like there to pick him up, and then he's just like, I'm actually going to walk. And it's just like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's a wonderful day. I'm going to walk through the
boundary
park.
There was a boundary that was set with Landry. So Landry gives her the hose. She comes downstairs and she's like, oh, so what is this? And he's like, it's my new venture. You know, what do you think? And she's, what she says to him, what Agnes says to Landry, is it would probably be better if you weren't observing them so closely.
Yeah, sorry.
So she already, she's like,
she's setting a boundary, as you should, because it's nice to get some male attention now and then. We're just girls, you know.
Everyone likes
a little bit of romantic attention.
Sure.
Every now and then, as long as it doesn't, especially if you have like a long term partner, as long as it doesn't go too far, and as long as you aren't putting all your eggs in a different basket. And so she's setting a boundary. She's like, hey, don't ogle me. I'm still married. And she does it more subtly and obviously like that. But she appreciates the gesture, but is like, okay, these are very comfortable stockings. Thank you. But don't look at my legs. Anyway, then Hallam decides to walk home so that he can. I think there are multiple reasons for this. First of all, so that he can see Percy riding through the park, which is gross. Second, because he wants to avoid talking to his wife. He wants to take the longest route home so that he doesn't have to talk to his wife about shit.
But there is also the, like, I want to walk to clear my head, which sometimes is a thing.
Yes, so but I don't think that's why.
I don't think that's the primary reason.
How about that?
I don't think internally it's the primary reason. I think externally he wants it to be the primary
reason. Oh, he definitely wants it to be the primary reason, but no, it isn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, Amanjeet and the headmistress of Lada's school have tea with Lada in a public house, he gets racially profiled.
It's terrible.
And it's awful. Mm. And he confronts the manager, who wants them to move out of sight.
Well, he can sit in the back room.
And then he's like, we're fine at the table we were sat at. And
the guy's like, no.
The headmistress is like, we just need to leave.
Yeah, well, I didn't see anything on the menu I like. And Mr. Amanjeet's embarrassed. Like, he feels like she's embarrassed to be seen with him. But
she's not. Later. Anyway, Percy mentions seeing Hallam in the park, and he follows her to her bedroom to talk
vomit.
More.
Vomit.
I said,
vomit,
ah.
vomit. I just like, pardon me while I vomit.
Pardon me while I go and vomit. Amanjeet and Lada and the headmistress get their photo taken. Him and the headmistress clearly like each other. They have a lot of respect for each other and what the work that they're doing for the Jewish children who they're bringing over from Germany. And so there's a lot of respect there. Maybe some romance, but it's not completely clear at this point. Meanwhile, Spargo is...
Spargo's gonna go box.
Yeah, and Johnny, only Johnny's gonna go support him. Johnny and Blanche.
Alrighty.
And Spargo gets beaten. And then one of the guys talks bad about Spargo in the locker room, and Johnny throws a punch at him and all that stuff.
And people are feeling.
Amanjeet gets the pictures from the day, and he's like, "Oh, that's sweet."
Pictures from going out with the headmistress.
Yes. Beryl goes to Spargo, gives her a reason about why he went into boxing.
Yeah.
He stopped boxing because his family needed him to...
his dad got injured.
Yeah, was sick in the war. And so he needed to go into service. Not service. He started working for a grocer. But he needed to be employed for his family to stay afloat.
Right.
Anyway, Beryl gives him some makeup to cover up his bruises. That's really sweet. One of the boxing guys wants Johnny to go in the ring, and Spargo will train him. They've made that agreement. Agnes meets with Landry at one of his stocking factories, and she's like, "This is a business call. I want 6 pairs of stockings."
Right. And it's cute, though, because there's a little bit of weirdness here. Because, again, the music for this show is not good.
It's awful.
And this is an example of it being clunky. Like, they use this very... Havana Gila kind of music for this factory. It's like, why are
well, it's because he mentioned his parents were in a program in Russia.
Yeah, but he's living in America. He's part of the Russians that went to America, not to England. There are people, of course, there are people who immigrated in pogroms to England, and they live in this particular area. And so there are a number of them working in this factory. They just use a lot of filler on the roof kind of stuff. And it's like, that's really not okay.
Anyway, he suggests that Agnes be his model for his stockings ad when the other model didn't show up. See, he wasn't immediately like, "Oh, Agnes, you're going to be my model." He was just like, "Oh, my model canceled. Can you fill in?" Yeah. And so then we go over to Spargo. He too tells Beryl that he's training Johnny. And she's like, "Eh, I don't know about that." Anyway, Agnes agrees to be the model, and then we go over to Hallam, who talks to Percy about work. He talks to Percy about work. He talks about Percy, politics, yeah. The former Nazi, about work.
And she's like, "Oh, I just feel so safe when you talk to me about this. It's like, do you not see how fake she is?" And she's like, "Oh, tell me more." And of course he does, because he's a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. There are a bunch of reasons why this is stupid. Hallam should be better, smarter, all the things than this, and he is not.
They've ruined his character.
It's
one of the officials from work is coming over for dinner, and so that's a big deal for Hallam.
Admiral or something.
Blanche reads the situation like a sapphic book.
Yeah, she's like,
she reads it like that, like so quickly. She's immediately like, "There's a vibe, and I don't like the vibe." And she's correct. Landry invites Agnes to have dinner with him after the photo shoot, and she accepts. They have cute banter. They're adorable. They finally get their rumba in an alleyway, which is adorable.
Right, because they're having trouble getting a table. And while they're doing that, she is like late for the dinner.
No, that's not this.
Okay.
This is them just that since she essentially the one of the main reasons why she accepts going to dinner is because her fucking husband doesn't want to have dinner with her.
Yeah, that's true.
Like he completely avoided having dinner with her this entire week. She gave him an entire week. "Hey, maybe I know you're busy right now, but like, is there a possibility that we can have dinner together at some point this week?" Didn't answer her. And so it's just like, well, this guy wants to have dinner. And fine. I'm already here.
In the alleyway.
That happens organically, which is even cuter.
Yes.
But
Rumba.
She brings up the rumba. She hears the music and she was like, "Oh, well, now we can finally have a rumba." But the thing is, she doesn't let him like kiss her or anything, and he doesn't even go in for a kiss. He's very respectful.
Breathing on her neck, Natalie. This is
he
not
doesn't go in for the kiss though. I would just like to say that he is respectful of her boundaries. And we'll get into that later.
I almost choked on that.
We'll get into that later.
We will. because there's more to this episode.
Anyway.
Shocking. And there's so much shit going on. It's just amazing.
Johnny starts getting nervous about becoming a soldier, whatever. Agnes tries to tell... Okay, this pisses me off.
It pissed me off, too.
All right, so picture this. Hallam is in his study. He's doing his study things. Mom.
I want to add something. Agnes, when she did the modeling, was put in this really beautiful dress that she is still wearing when she gets home.
Yes. Proceed. So, picture this. Hallam's in a study working on paperwork. Fine. Whatever. She comes home. She's still dressed in this beautiful gown.
She's got hair done, her makeup done. She looks awesome.
Looks beautiful. She comes in and she like knocks on the door and she's in like the doorway. He doesn't even look up when she comes in.
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, darling, I must tell you, I had the most wonderful day. I'd love to talk to you about it. And then he doesn't talk about that at all. He's just like, oh, you need to plan a dinner for this official guy. And then she's like,
okay.
And he doesn't look up, doesn't notice her beautiful dress, just says that she needs to organize the dinner. And that's it. And then she slinks back to like probably the sitting room or something to like
Percy
do what she
sees it.
And she seems content.
Happy even.
Why does she fucking hate her sister this much?
Right. And I've got ignores her fuck off.
I would just like to say I'm so confused about why Percy doesn't like Agnes this much. Like we get a little bit of an inkling about it, like when Agnes mentions I think it was to Pamela, about how her mother died in childbirth.
Rivalry between the same gender is very different from sibling rivalry between opposite genders.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a lot of animosity. That's all I'm going to say. I'll explain later if I need to. But there can be a lot of competitive ugliness between siblings. And that's obvious here, and it's disgusting.
But do you, if your sister had a husband that was giving you flirty vibes, would you destroy her relationship?
Exactly. I'm not that person, Natalie.
Then why is Percy that person? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not going to ask another time. I don't. All right. So the part of what happens with this is now we have Spargo training Johnny for the boxing, which is very cute, and Beryl's impressed. We have a montage. There's like training and there's running and there's boxing and there's all this stuff, and Beryl's impressed with it. Spargo realizes that Johnny's scared about being a soldier. Meanwhile, Percy talks to Agnes, which is like, ugh.
Oh, this
and
shit is
about
so
their
annoying.
Silly rivalry.
Well, right? This part really pisses me off. Because she could tell from watching her slink away that he didn't notice that she looked beautiful, that he didn't remark on it, that he barely looked at her. All of that stuff just from her sister's, like all of what she was getting off. And then she, like, is standing in her bedroom doorway,
Percy
watching her
is standing
get ready.
In Agnes's doorway.
Yes. Watching Agnes get ready for like something, and she's just like, you look beautiful, but you look beautiful every day. And then she's just like, thank you, like what is this about?
Right, and this says, you remember a dress that you gave me as a hand-me-down? Never looked as good on me as it looked on you. I mean, she's got a lot of petty shit going on, and again, this is something I can explain at a different time. I think
it's the extent to which she does all of the stuff that she does.
Okay.
And the purposeful
yeah, she's disgusting. She is beyond normal levels of disgusting.
That's the point I'm trying to make. We don't need to go into the other one.
Okay.
Anyway, Agnes talks to Blanche about the nylon shoot, and Blanche is just like, ooh, scandalous. Have you told Hallam? And she's like, no, I didn't have the moment.
Right. And
he doesn't want to talk to me.
For some reason, Prashar gets sick, and I'm not really clear on what happened.
I don't know. I think he's just sick.
He is sick.
Almaty's taking over his duties.
Right. Hallam is upset that Agnes and Blanche are friends and is whining to the Duke of Kent about
it. Oh, so she can't have friends?
Right. It's just like ridiculous.
I hate that the two women living under my roof get along.
I think primarily he's bitching about Blanche. Why? I don't really
know.
What
did Blanche do?
Nothing.
Suggest that you be nice to your servant?
Well, So Blanche,
be a lesbian.
He kind of wants to like break that up because he wants Blanche to live somewhere else, I guess, whatever. And so the Duke of Kent's like, oh, I'll handle this. And he comes in to like talk to Blanche about naked men and boxing and shit because they're both into that.
No, but the funny thing is Blanche is like, I don't see any other use for a naked man other than to pummel each other and to blow blood, which is very like, funny.
Okay.
And the Duke of Kent's like, I just like them undressed. Yeah, it's exactly. Very funny. That's the vibe he gives off anyway.
So then they go to the boxing all together. And the Duke of Kent's like, it's nice to go incognito, except he's not because people know who he is. And Johnny wins like in a knockout in the first round, which is great.
Yeah.
Beryl accepts the date with Harry after this. And it's very, very sweet.
It's so cute.
Mr. Amanji is helping Prashar because he wants to learn about being a sommelier.
And they're like, together we'll make a fantastic button.
Yes. Landry wants to use Agnes as the face of his hosiery line and he wants her to do more advertising and she's kind of like, oh yeah, sure. There's a new shoot that he wants to do on the coast and he wants her to go and she's like, sure.
And then we get this bullshit. And so Hallam in his car, because he decided to take the car today and not like ogle at Percy on a horse.
Vomit.
He decided, he looked to the side and saw his wife's ad for hosiery
on the side of a bus.
And he gets pissed. Mm. And I'm like, sir, she tried to tell you that this was happening.
Yes.
You didn't listen to her. And so
this is on you
for not being informed. And he confronts Agnes about it. And she's just like, well, I was going, it wasn't for money or anything. It was a favor for a friend.
And
I thought it was
fine. Money would be for the charity.
And then she was going to donate most of the proceeds to the charity. Which is a great thing to do. So she's doing nothing wrong.
Correct.
And so you really are supposed to be on her side. And then she says that she has finally found something that she enjoys and wants him to be happy for her. And then he just walks away.
Yeah, he's just all
he can't defend that.
Right. It's just ridiculous. And I wrote this down. He's whining and he walks off. Blanche then tells Hallam, you need to work to get her back. And I think this actually has the reverse effect from what Blanche is absolutely right.
Oh yeah.
But I think
hilarious the way it happens. He essentially like Blanche is walking down the stairs and he's like, I blame you for the failings of my marriage. And she
you have to blame someone.
And she's just, yeah, no, there's a line later that is just like, well, it must be nice to have someone to blame. And she literally tells him verbatim, Agnes is drifting away. You need to do something to get her back because you need to be the one to do that. And so Agnes, against Helm's wishes, obviously, goes to the photo shoot on the coast. And she talks to Landry about Hallam's reaction. He's like, well, I guess I understand that he doesn't want people like ogling you, but it's what you want to do. So it's really up to you. And she's just like, yeah, it's up to me. And he asks what she wants from life. And she says, well, I thought I knew, but now I guess I don't. Because I think she was really content with her life with Hallam before, her and her kids and she was able to find some meaning from life. And the kids aren't really brought into this until the end of this episode, but that really is a potent part of why they, what the, of like all, the relationship, what has come from their relationship, because kids are a big deal and they are very much a part of it. And it's a very much a part of Agnes. It's a very much a part of Hallam. Obviously Hallam doesn't give a shit. And we're going to talk about that later. I'm going to bring it up later. Anyway, Landry walk on the pier. They talk all day. And I think what she really, does she like the male attention? Yes. But I also think she just really wants someone to listen to her. And she has Blanche, sure, but
it's not the same. It's her husband. This is your fucking husband.
She wants somebody who will listen to her, actively listen to her, will be in her corner, who wants to know more about her as a person. Not that Blanche isn't an outlet for that, but it's different with a friend and with a
There's a little sexual tension going there, too.
For sure. You know,
that matters. It matters.
It does matter. It does matter. And it's nice to know that somebody is looking at you like that.
Yes.
It's nice to know that you're still an object of desire. And
especially, she's not a, you know, she's not like an old person.
No,
I'm not an old person. I still like that. So yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, Blanche gives Johnny an invitation to box for an amateur boxing match for the Duke of Kent. Spargo postpones his date with Beryl to help Johnny, which is kind of funny, but she understands.
She's actually very good about it.
Hallam is pissed because there's been at the coast. Fog has rolled in, and so it has made it very hard to drive on the roads. And so she's unable, or something.
Agnes is unable
to make it to the dinner on time. Hallam is pissed that Agnes hasn't shown up for the important dinner, and Percy is like, well, I'll just take her place. These guys won't know one woman in a silk dress from another. They'll just think I'm the hostess.
Right.
Which is fine, I guess. It's really weird, though. But literally taking her place and putting down one of her hand-me-downs.
Dress. Yeah. So part of what happens is that Agnes calls. She calls the house and she wants to talk to Hallam, but Percy takes the call. And Percy then lies to Hallam and acts like,
oh, no, she lies to Agnes too.
Yeah.
She calls, she answers the phone call, and Agnes is like, oh, well, can you tell Hallam to postpone the dinner? I'm going to be late. I need to, the fog has rolled in. I won't be able to make it on time, but can you just postpone it so that I can make it? And then Percy is just like, oh, well, don't worry about it. He doesn't need you at the dinner anymore. Or no, she doesn't even say he doesn't need. She gives off the vibe that the dinner is canceled anyway.
No. She says he doesn't need you. That's specifically what she says.
But I thought the vibe I got from that was the dinner was canceled. No, so he doesn't need you to be there.
The vibe I got from it is that he doesn't want you there.
Okay.
And that,
that's,
I think,
worse.
Is worse. And that, is I worse. Think that's part of what's in Agnes's mind when the next things happen.
Anyway, Agnes and Landry decide that they need to stay, might need to stay at the hotel because of the fog. They have dinner.
Well, right. But part of what she says in the conversations she has with Landry is she's like, I thought I was at least a hostess. Now I'm not even needed for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm seeing the vibe that you're, that was giving off. Anyway, the dinner happens with the important official. They go into.
And Percy's listening.
Yes. And yeah, really subtle, mom. Anyway, so. Blanche asked Mr. Amanjeet for his opinion about how the war could affect other countries like India.
And because this comes up, the Admiral doesn't want to like have conversations, first of all, with anybody, which I can kind of understand. It's kind of top secret kind of stuff that you're talking about. But he is not wanting the opinions of about anything other than very specific, like, oh, this only affects like Germany and Italy and a couple countries, and maybe affects us, maybe not. He's very isolationist in his approach, and that's part of the reason that Blanche asks Amanjeet about it. It's like, look, you know, the First World War was supposed to be like that too, and here we had this whole Sikh army involved. This could have greater repercussions, and Amanjeet is about to talk, and this fucker says racist shit again.
What's up with the racist shit?
Anyway,
he gets upset about being passed over and his opinions being ignored. He mentions this to Pritchard.
He's right.
He's absolutely correct.
But
Pritchard is like, that's what being a butler is about. Like, you're going to be ignored. You're meant to be ignored. Whatever.
He's like, I'm a servant, but I'm allowed to have opinions. This is
unfair. I'm also, but first I'm a man, mm-hmm. and that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Landry tells Agnes, like, they're walking along the shore, along the pier,
mm-hmm.
and they're hearing this romantic song, and it's a perfect time for, like, a romantic moment. Landry looks at her, and then he's just like, I need to take you home. You need to go home, and I don't want to harm your reputation. I respect you way too much for you to throw your reputation away. Right. He's such a good person.
Right, so, no, initially, you say that. Initially, he was like, we could spend the night at the hotel, we could find rooms.
Well, he said if that's proper or not. So he still gave her an out.
Right, he gave her an out, and she's like, I don't even think those words are in my vocabulary. And he's kind of like, okay. And then they walk around. And somehow this romantic song is what brought it to mind for him. Like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And
he's a good man.
Right. He got it together before he did anything.
And that's exactly. And that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And does intention also matter? Yes. However, the fact that he was able to get his shit together before anything actually happened, that's good.
Yes.
Anyway, and Agnes understands, and she's like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure. Blanche apologizes to Mr. Amanjeet about what happened at dinner, and he's just like, it's not your fault. People are so racist. Agnes returns home, and Hallam is like, well, you missed the dinner. And
she's like, I thought it wasn't needed.
And you know what? I think that it's interesting that Agnes doesn't mention Percy telling her you didn't meet her.
Right,
Hallam passed that like thing to Percy to tell her.
Well, but I don't think she even assumes that. I think what she assumes is that Percy just knows what's going on in the house. I think what he assumes is that she didn't call.
Yeah, he doesn't know that she called at all. But that's why I'm kind of annoyed that she doesn't bring up, well, I called and you said, and I was told that it wasn't needed. Because those people, if someone confronts me about something I didn't do, I'd be like, well, give me the full context. I'm going to give you the full context. This is what I thought was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, well, that was a miscommunication. Right. See, I like to communicate. Anyway, these people don't. Anyway, so Hallam accuses her of being, she accuses him of not caring about her at all, which I think at this point is pretty damn accurate. Fair. And then he accuses her of being infatuated with Landry, which is also kind of accurate, but also, given the circumstances, a little bit more understandable than you think, and forbids her from seeing him again, which, again, given the circumstances of, given, or in a vacuum, if you were just considering Hallam being a little bit distant and her having this emotional affair with
Landry,
that is a bad thing. That shouldn't be happening. If you are happily married, you shouldn't be like straying like that or being tempted to stray like that.
Fair.
However, given the bullshit that he's doing on the side, this hypocritical asshole is literally like going after her sister and having his own emotional affair over here,
right,
causing the distance.
But she doesn't know that.
Obviously, she doesn't know that. But
right, but you know that he. So he's pissed. He forbids her from seeing Landry, and Agnes is like, he's the kind of man who wouldn't forbid me from doing anything. Meanwhile, Hallam goes and whines to the Duke of Kent because that's what he does. Kent
is like, I'm gonna be your friend. I'm gonna tell you something you don't hear. Also, this presumptuous ass being Hallam, he is like, oh, they've definitely not done anything. It's like, okay,
how the fuck do you know that she's a gorgeous woman? And why, if that's true, why do you care?
Yes, exactly. If she's having a friend, and obviously, like, if he suspects it being more and he's jealous, that's one thing. He's just annoyed that she might cause a scandal at this point. I think that's the vibe. I think that's part of it.
How could anyone not be in love with me?
I think that's the vibe.
Fuck off.
I don't think he's jealous. I think he's just annoyed that she possibly could have another person who, like, makes her interests, like, stray.
Well, that she could be emotionally interested.
Yes.
Well, but here's the thing. It would be so simple if he just listened to her. So this is what the Duke of Kent has to say.
Literally the identical thing
that Blanche says. Like, you need to work to get your wife back. You guys have a wonderful marriage. You need to stop right now. Look at your life and say, you know, this is really fucking awesome because I'm seeing cracks and I don't like seeing them. You need to fix this.
Because he's seen how good they are together.
Yes.
And he doesn't want that to go away. And that's a good friend. Yes. But also, I think that what he says specifically is, go tuck your children in at night and tell me you don't have a good thing with Agnes. Like, tell me that those two beautiful human beings were not born out of love. Yeah. And you can't make it work.
Yeah.
Not to say that people who have kids can't get a divorce. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that they had a really good relationship before. and you are the reason that this is falling apart right now. So you need to get your shit together and stop being such an asshole. Like, stop
it. So anyway, so Hallam, it becomes boxing night.
Spargo tells Beryl he didn't start doing all of this for Johnny, but she already knew. And that's kind of cute.
And everyone's getting ready and they go. And there's this really...
Including Pritchard, who's even still sick, but he still wants to go and support.
Yes. There's a super fancy boxing venue. Hallam sits between Agnes and Percy. There's a creepy dude. So there are a bunch of people that go to meet Johnny before the fight, including the Duke of Kent and some of his friends. One of them is a creepy dude who stays behind, tries to pay off Johnny, touches his nipple, and then tries to kiss him, and Johnny, being Johnny, hits him. Good for him.
And then he runs away.
And right at that point, Spargo's kind of like, hey.
He's like, what the fuck is happening?
What the fuck is happening? Where are you going, Johnny? But meanwhile, Landry shows up at the boxing and Hallam sees him and there's a confrontation. Hallam starts it. Hallam swings on Landry.
Let me put it this way. Landry goes up, he greets them.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hallam gets all pissed off about the fact that he even like talks to him. He's just like, oh yeah, you've been like trying to steal my wife and do all this stuff.
Does this not remind you of Downton Abbey where it's like, oh, there he is.
Who would smile and be a villain.
I think that was better done. I'm sorry. Even Glenn pulls this off better. Just saying.
I'm just saying that we're talking about our favorite season, our favorite episode of Downton Abbey.
Season 2 is so fucking amazing.
You do not understand how much better that shit is.
On Downton Abbey!
It's so much better. If you want something vastly different, like not vastly different as in like content-wise, but quality-wise, if you want to watch two shows that are so on like opposite ends of a spectrum, Downton Abbey and I will point out
that the scene in Downton Abbey ends with Maggie Smith saying, do you promise?
I doubt we'll ever see each other again. Do you promise?
It's the best thing. Oh,
sorry,
my God.
About the vase. Oh, don't worry, dear. I've hated it for half a century. It was from a dreadful aunt. Anyway, that's such a better TV show. We could quote that entire episode. Probably.
I know, probably, yeah.
Anyway, so Hallam says all this shit about like, oh, you've been trying to steal my wife, and Agnes is like, stop. And then Landry is like, well, you clearly don't know what your wife wants, so
please stop.
And then Agnes is like, all right, that was beyond the pale, let's not do that. And then Hallam gets up and swings at him, misses. And then Landry, out of self-defense, punches him in the face, and all of these cameras are going off, so it's gonna be bad.
And Hallam's like knocked out, and Agnes
not knocked out, but knocked down.
Agnes just leaves.
She turns to Hallam and she says, "Don't follow.
That was immature. Stop it.
Yeah, you started this shit, and you made a fool of yourself.
And then you couldn't end it.
Yeah, walking away.
You're a loser. Yeah. You're a lame ass loser.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of tells you that this was actually like a trial by combat. You would
fucking lose. You're like the guy who goes up to like declare a duel with the glove and miss. Like, you are such a lame ass person. Anyway, we are talking about this so much, but it's really worth talking about. Every aspect of this episode makes me upset. Anyway, Spargo has to step in for Johnny. Spargo wins. Anyway, back to the stuff we actually care about. What?
I do want to say this is really fucking great because you think Spargo's gonna lose. He wins because he makes eye contact with Beryl. He's like, I'm losing courage. I'm not losing in front of her. And good. He doesn't. Good for him.
Agnes goes home and is super upset and she tucks her children in. And again, I think this shows the difference. One of the biggest differences between Hallam and Agnes at this point, she is thinking about her future. She is thinking about how her future will affect other people, including her children. She is so unhappy in her marriage at this point because he is just completely aloof, not paying any attention to her. And not in like a petty way of like, oh, he doesn't compliment me 24/7. It's not even that. He just won't pay her any common decency anymore. And he just treats her like a child, tries to like keep her in a box for no fucking reason. She's just so upset in her position, but then she tucks her children in at night and she remembers her priorities. Yeah. And she remembers that, and much, and not in the same way, but kind of similar to last episode where Portia's like, I don't want him to divorce me because I want to keep my children. In a similar way, she's not going to break this marriage because of the children. And so she is, even if she's just miserable, she wants to stay strong for her children. And at least she has Blanche in her corner. And it's, I think at some point in this, Blanche is told that she needs to leave or some, oh no, we'll talk about that later. Actually, sorry. That's later. But yeah, it's clear that she's thinking about the implications of her actions if she were to leave her marriage, or if she were to have an affair, or if like scandal would break out or anything. She's thinking about the consequences of her actions, whereas Hallam just completely is not. And he proved that with the whole fight with Landry in front of a lot of photographers. Yeah. You wouldn't do that if you cared about how your image will be perceived by other people. So then anyway, Spargo comes back with Beryl, and Johnny's there, and he has like a jacket on over his like bare chest, and it's like he just took a walk of shame, but he didn't. He was kissed by a guy and then he punched him in the face. That's it. Anyway, Spargo's like, what happened to you? And Johnny's just like, there was this guy and he tried to kiss me and I punched him in the face, and I was worried that since he's a powerful guy, he's going
to
like
prosecute me and go back to prison.
And then he's just like, and then Spargo's just like, he laughs at him and he's like, what? It's not funny. And then he's just like, I don't think that guy's going to want to tell anybody about that. Anyway, Hallam comes home and briefly talks to Agnes. He is like, I apologize. He apologizes for what happened that night. And then she's like, well, we're both to blame.
We're both
at fault for that. Fine, whatever. She's the mature one. And well, she just cuts it short.
What she says is, we were both at fault and there's nothing more to say. And neither of them says another word.
He doesn't bring up anything like, no, that was really immature of me. We need to talk about this. And the thing is, could she have left it open? Yes, but I think she wanted to make it as brief as possible and maybe see if he would make a move to like try to be better, but he doesn't. And so she's like, well, I got my answer. And then Beryl goes to Spargo. It's a kind of a long scene for no reason.
But Beryl goes to Spargo and she's like, oh, you were so brave. And she kisses
him. Would it hurt if I kissed you? Because he has like bruises and stuff.
And then there's kissing.
Yeah. Agnes does the mature thing, goes to Landry, and not because Hallam said so, but because she knows that she doesn't want to jeopardize her future and her children. Mm-hmm. She goes to Landry and says she can't see him anymore, and he says he understands and he admires her even more for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, healthy.
Yes.
Hallam, meanwhile, is immature and blames Blanche for what happened.
What the
fuck? And then she's like, ever since you came here, sorry, he says, ever since you came here, my marriage has suffered. And she's like, how nice to have someone to blame.
Exactly. Someone other than yourself.
I just got to say, if a marriage fails, it's
the people that are in it.
The people who are in the marriage, and less so external forces. The external forces can be a factor, but that's not the main reason why that your marriage is failing.
Your marriage should weather all storms.
Yes, and Hallam wants her to leave. Mm-hmm. And she kind of just smirks and is like, whatever.
Yeah, okay, then, loser.
Then Percy and Hallam make eye contact in the hallway, and then they walk into the parlor, and they're kind of like walking closer and closer to each other. I forget, they probably are saying something or something along the
line. Percy goes to seduce Hallam is what it comes to.
Essentially.
He does nothing. They kiss, and all I could think was, fuck.
No, they not only kiss, like, last time they did kiss, and he didn't pull away immediately, but she pulled away. He was into it, but he didn't pull away, but she did pull away. It was shorter. This is a full-on makeout session.
It's gross.
And he puts his arms around her.
It's gross.
You don't do that if you're not into it.
He's into it. And
that is fucked up.
Majorly.
After your wife just made a mature decision to in the right direction of saving your relationship, you go and do this shit.
I am.
I hate you. You've completely ruined Holland.
I can tell you right now what my worst parts are, because I think you can guess.
Well, let's do best parts first.
Fine. Can I do mine?
Sure.
Landry, mm-hmm. I think is the best part.
Yes, absolutely.
I think, you know, the fact that he abides by the boundaries that should exist is really great. I love Spargo in this. I think mm-hmm. he's really very good in this episode. Johnny, I think, is great in this episode. Mr. Amanjeet, mm-hmm. I love him. Blanche is great. And of course, Agnes. Agnes is fabulous in this episode. So what were your favorite parts?
Agnes trying to be a better listener. Yeah. I think that Agnes, again, as I have mentioned, which I never really, after watching season one, mm-hmm. I never expected to like Agnes, or at least like Agnes as much as I do. Because
you made a lot of apologies for Agnes.
Because I had watched this season and I mm-hmm. made apologies knowing what happens this season. I can freely admit season one, she's an awful person. Season two, she starts out kind of rocky, but then she gets better. And this is one of her best episodes.
Yeah.
She actually has a fucking arc, which is more than I can say for Hallam. Mm. She goes, or Percy for that matter.
Mm. Percy has no arc.
Absolutely not. She's just chaos.
She's not just chaos. She's like evil.
We'll talk about Percy in a minute. Trust me. Anyway, Agnes goes through an arc this episode that I think is extremely relatable for a lot of people, regardless of if you're married or not. You like the attention you're getting, but no, it's not the mature thing, and you cut it off.
Yeah.
And that's it. You realize that it's not going to be conducive for your life. It's not a good thing. It's inappropriate, and you need to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And her going through that, and also, but all, at the same time, you're also seeing it the way that the writers want you to see it, in this episode at least, is that she's correct. She should be with Landry right now because her husband sucks. And
yeah, it's not so much that the writers, okay, I'm sorry, I'll let you finish that.
I'm saying they want you to be on Agnes's side. Yes. In this episode.
Oh, absolutely.
Last episode I think they were trying to get us on Percy's side and that was not working for me. This episode they do want you to be on Agnes's side, and you are
right.
If you're not, what the fuck? And
right.
So
Agnes's side is not necessarily that she needs to be with Landry.
Her marriage is falling apart because her husband's shit.
Yes.
And so anyway, that her taking those steps to being a better listener in her marriage, her actively taking steps to strengthen their marriage, and then going in the absolute opposite direction the entire time is just so hard to watch sometimes.
It is.
Mr. Amanjeet for being like, well, I'm a person too. It's like, yeah, you are. You are a person. You are entitled to your own opinion. You should be able to express that. Blanche reading the room. Like, she can read
she
it
has got,
so quickly.
She has got good instincts.
She's no got question. The best killer instincts. And also, I really like her and Agnes together. I really mm-hmm. like their camaraderie and them
defending each other.
Yeah, I forgot to mention. I mentioned it slightly in the last episode because I forgot which episode it was in. But there is one moment where Agnes comes in and is telling Hallam, oh, yeah, we've been invited, but it's all to this dinner party thing, but it's only you, me, and Percy. It's excluding Blanche altogether. And she immediately is like, we should decline.
Right.
Because she's a good person and she wants Blanche to be included.
Right. Well, she just feels like people that are going to treat Blanche badly will treat them all badly at one point or another.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not loyal people. And she's right. So, yeah. Absolutely.
Then Spargo and Beryl. I really like them. Mm-hmm. They're cute. Landry. I love Landry.
You want to be together with Landry. That must be
he sick. Looks like a young George Clooney.
He does.
But also, I think that in general, like, I love a man who respects boundaries. I really like that he reads the situation. But he obviously set up the situation to be romantic. And then he realizes immediately, he is the one who makes the move to be like, no, this is bad. This is not good.
I could get this woman to do whatever I wanted her to do. And I don't want to
manipulate her.
Way. Yes.
I don't want to feel like I'm forcing her to do something that is going to wreck her life and then she would hate me afterwards. I don't want any of that.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that he's one of those people who like who cuts it off. And he's just like, okay, no. And then he respects her so much that he is like, yeah, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Absolutely. You've made the boundary. I'm not going to bother you. Then Johnny. I really like Johnny. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. My worst parts.
Hallam and Pershing in all caps, not necessarily even with the aunt. I hate both of them independently. We see a lot more of Hallam in this episode, so I hate him more. But both of them are in all caps because they're both fucking terrible. But Hallam is like irredeemably terrible in this episode to me. Like everyone that you know and you respect is telling you, you have got to stop ruining your own life because Agnes is a huge part of your life and you are pushing her away.
She's like, a good
with
part
of hands. And you're not listening to her. You're not listening to us. You're doing stupid shit. And he's just throwing it away. He clearly does not value what he has. And you know, that is a major, major downslope for Hallam as a character. He has been so much better than this. There is like no basis for him to be like behaving in the way that he is. And you can talk about, oh, well, you know, Percy gave him a cookie tin. That is not a reason to fuck somebody. It is not a reason to break up your marriage. This is stupid fucking bullshit. Now, it does show how weak he is. You got a sense that his mother thought he was a little bit weak. That Maude did.
Well, his father certainly did because he had that insecurity at the beginning.
Right. His father
was right.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously. And it's just.
I would also like to add to that. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. He knows the kind of person Percy is. He has gotten the full view. It's not like he just met this woman randomly, knows nothing about her, and is going to like make out with her, have sex with her, and break up his marriage that way. He knows all about her. She is his wife's sister.
The betrayal is so much worse.
He knows that there's a lot of insecurity in their relationship as sisters anyway. Mm-hmm. There's also the fact that she was a Nazi,
mm-hmm.
and she is a Nazi sympathizer, and she was literally living in Germany and hanging out with Nazis and being a live-in with a Nazi. And then he goes to a bar, talks to the Nazi she lived with, and he's like, yeah, she worked her way up through the German ranks by sleeping with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, you know the kind of person she is. He knows that she's immature, can't handle the consequences of her actions. But she's free and she's hot and she's clairvoy and I want to make out with her because my wife is trying to take an interest in me and I can't have that. It's like, fuck off, fully fuck off. I am so upset. I loved him in season one.
I did too.
I loved him and Agnes in season one because regardless of if Agnes was a bad person, their marriage worked.
Yeah.
And there was a glimmer of that in like episode 2 of this season where they're like talking about like potentially moving to America again or whatever.
Right.
And you got just a glimpse of like the happiness that their marriage had and the fact that they had to battle infertility, all of that. You're throwing all of that battle away. You're throwing all of that away.
The love, the hardship, the everything.
Oh, I forgot to even mention in the last episode that he has had to go through a miscarriage that wasn't self-induced with Agnes before. And so imagine how that felt for him seeing that and having to flush that baby down the toilet.
I didn't even think about that, but you're right.
I forgot to mention it last episode. I meant to do it, but imagine how that would, if he was an actual character still, if he saw that and he had to think about the fact that that was a child and they no longer can have any. Because they set that up at the beginning of the season that they can't have any more children.
Right.
They shouldn't have any more children.
Set up. So there was something that Percy actually mentioned.
Oh, right. You're right.
When they're sending, they're talking about sending her off to the coast to have the baby. Percy's like, oh, but then if you told Agnes, Agnes will want to raise the baby as her own and all of that stuff. It would be like a penny novelette and I don't want to be part of that. And Helm's like, oh, well, you're acting like you're in a penny novelette. And it's like, and now you are. Like, it used to be just
Percy acting like she was in Penny Novelette, and now you're part of it. It's fucking loser.
It's insane to me that they have stripped away so many layers of Hallam's character to just be stupid. Well, but doesn't have an emotional reaction to the whole miscarriage thing. The even idea of an abortion, considering his wife's infertility at this point and how she's taking this for granted in that way. And not to say that she doesn't still have a choice, but it's like, for a stance as a character, he should be taking the stance of you should be thanking your lucky stars that you can still have children. And not to say that you should have this one necessarily, but you should be thankful that you still have the opportunity and you're taking it for granted.
Well, and you're also possibly damaging that forever by having this kind of back alley abortion.
And I also would like to say that again, this is from last episode, but him talking about that, if the one grievance you have in your marriage is that she took away your biscuit tin box that you put your combs in and your cufflinks in. She's a little
superficial because you've only asked her to be superficial. That she gave you
like a nice, smart little holder for your combs. That's the worst thing that she did. She threw away a biscuit tin. Did you explain to her?
The implication to me is that he said that he did and she didn't love it and she wanted to get something nicer.
I'm sorry that your little thing from like grade school didn't like make the cut. I'm not saying that you should do that. All of us
have to purge shit. Yeah, it's a thing.
It is a biscuit tin box.
Yeah.
You could buy another one if you really wanted to. And Percy did.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that special. Gross. Anyway, I just wanted to talk about that. I'm sorry, you were continuing with your worst parts. I'm so sorry.
Percy, of course, is fucking terrible. In part because she is manipulating this. And of course, I don't want to give everything away. But she is definitely wanting to be part of these discussions about foreign affairs. In a way that is...
There's only one way people can take that much.
Yeah, but it should be as obvious to all of us, and it is as obvious to all of us, as it should be to Helen, who should be smarter than this, and he's not. And, you know, he has been in other contexts, but for whatever reason, because his penis is involved, he just isn't. And it's so fucking disappointing. And it's the first time we've seen him be ruled by the penis, and it's just sad to me. It's horrible.
Not by the right head.
Correct. Yes, correct. It's so upsetting, and Percy's manipulating that, and it's just wrong.
Yeah. Was that it?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we don't fireworks.
Okay, fireworks. It's not even. What is it?
It's not even Memorial Day anymore. It's a thing.
It's not. Okay. Anyway. So on in all caps, Percy. Percy. I've gone on many diatribes about Percy. I'm not going to go on a full one now. There's going to be more later.
Yep.
But this episode, she, much like we've seen being set up in the last episode, she is fully manipulating this situation. She is making it so, it's kind of like we needed it spelled out for us. Like, just the fact, if they had only kept the fact that Percy was even going to step in for Agnes just without question.
At the stupid dinner?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just that alone is enough for me. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she also answered the phone call, doesn't tell Hallam about anything. It's like, oh, Agnes, you don't have to show up.
Yeah. Lies to everybody.
Everybody.
To everybody.
And so I hate her so much.
Me too.
She's the worst. And she has no remorse. She has no conscience because she's a fucking Nazi, but also she has no conscience in the fact that you remember in like last season after Rachel died, where she was like, well, I liked her. She doesn't even have that anymore.
There's no humanity left. Absolutely in her. None. And I think that is it makes it easy to hate her, but it also just like, you know, they try to humanize her with the abortion. No, that's not
humanizing. No, that's not humanizing to me. Yeah. It's one thing. You know, I was kind of comparing it to Downton Abbey. because again, I was re-listening to it, and Edith had that subplot where mm-hmm. she was considering an abortion mm-hmm. because Michael Grixon went missing, and she
Nazis beat the shit out of him. By the way, just you know,
yeah, that was you, Percy.
Yeah,
and so,
you and your friends.
Yeah, you and your friends. And she was considering it, but she couldn't go through with it because it was a baby made from love, and mm-hmm. not every baby is made from love, but you know, it's just she didn't want to do that, and mm-hmm. that was her decision, and how that had so much more nuance to it.
Yeah,
and that made me feel for Edith even more considering the situation, because I mean, you could easily be like, well, girl, do stupid things, win stupid prizes. Like,
yeah,
I mean, you knew that was a possibility,
right?
But with Percy, it's even worse, because it was clearly obviously not planned pregnancy by any means, but also just
she was taking a lot of risks. Yeah,
she was playing fast and loose, and she made stupid decisions and is doing all that thing. And so it wasn't even that. I don't know. I just Downton Abbey did it better, obviously. Anyway, and not even just with the outcome, just with all the stuff in between. And all caps Hallam.
I think we've talked about Hallam.
We have. He's sunk so low. I'm so pissed.
It's so disappointing.
Bullshit. You know, hypocritical bullshit kiss. The fact that Hallam goes through this episode acting the way he is acting and being upset with his wife for having an emotional affair knowing in his heart of hearts that she didn't do anything with this guy, and then going and turning and kissing.
Again, the nuance is lost in part because of the writing. So there is a similar subplot for
Downton Abbey. In season 5, which we hated.
There's the stuff with the art critic for Cora.
But there was nuance.
But there is also the whole thing with the stupid maid. It's fucking terrible. But at the same
Jane. I liked Jane. I hated that plot.
Right. So, but the fact that both of them get tempted and like, yeah, the stupidity there, and it is intense stupidity.
The most similar one to me is the art critic.
Yeah.
He's not very similar to Landry. Landry has way more boundaries, thinks than that guy.
Landry's way better.
So much better. But it is similar because Cora keeps him at arm's length. Mm-hmm. She gets tempted and loves that this guy's listening to her, because that's something that's missing in her marriage, and she doesn't know how to really communicate that with her husband, and her husband's not listening to her. And there are similar issues, and that's kind of what Actis is going through. But obviously it ends differently because Robert actually loves Cora and would never, if it was a Nazi, he wouldn't. The way that they kind of resolve that feud is by her being like, if you have never been tempted, you can stay in your separate room. But if you have been tempted,
Come on back
to my bed, because seriously, that is absolute bullshit if you were staying in there.
And guess what? He comes back.
And you know what? He comes back. And so I like the way they ended that in Downton Abbey, because it calls back to something that happened before. It remembers its continuity mm-hmm. and is like, yeah, no, he made mistakes too. Like he can't be on a high horse because he's already in the fucking mud. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's, I acted like that was an actual phrase. It's not. It can be, though. Anyway, I wrote down both emotional affairs, because what she is doing is technically wrong.
Yes.
And we had a discussion about this yesterday when we were watching it. And I give Agnes more of a pass, obviously, because of the situation of her marriage. But she shouldn't be doing that. No. And
she doesn't know about his.
But she's also still noticing the effects of it. So she's reacting to that.
She thinks it's work. There's a difference between someone being married to their work and somebody having an affair.
Yes, I know. But yeah, it's neither of them are good. But again, I give Agnes more of a pass, considering the fact that she also more maturely handles the dismantling.
It also does. Well, right. No, Agnes
does the right actions, which is hugely important. But the other thing is, like, she's not trying to hook up with Hallam's brother or something.
No!
And she's not trying to hook up with anybody.
This is a new guy who's showing interest. She's enjoying having someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And that's the extent of it. It could have skewed more romantic. He stops it. She's like, you know, you're right. And then she's just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, it's, and then she ends it, fully ends it. And then Hallam's just an asshole about it. Yes. Anyway, I would also like to say for Hallam as well, because we didn't fully, we did mention it throughout the episode, but I'd also like to mention it in my worst parts, is that him blaming Blanche.
Oh, yeah.
Is ridiculous.
He's such a child.
What did Blanche do?
Yeah, here's the thing.
You're friends with my wife, so you must have enabled her to have an affair.
So here's the thing to me. It's like he goes from being an adult when he's with Agnes and things are good in the first season. He goes from that to being the kind of petulant child that Percy is.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's your fault. No, it's your fucking fault. Take some responsibility, you fucking loser. And Blanche calls him on it immediately, which is the right answer. And he doesn't hear her. It just amazes me.
It amazes me how far this man has sunk.
Exactly.
They are completely different people. The Hallam in the first season and the Hallam in the second season are completely different people.
And I'm not really sure why the show writers wanted to fuck this up, but they did. So
why are they trying to reward Percy in any way?
Yuck.
That's ridiculous.
Gross.
Racism.
Yeah, I failed to put racism.
Not good.
Yes, it's stop all bad.
That.
It's
that's awful. Bad. Just stop it. And creepy dude who tries to make out with
Johnny
and assault him.
Poor Johnny.
And try to treat him like a whore.
I actually like that this show brings that up, because I think one of the things that gets largely overlooked is that those kind of sexual advances happen to guys.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times guys are afraid to talk about the fact that Johnny actually mentions it to Spargo is remarkable, I think.
Yeah, I was very impressed by his ability to do
but,
that.
You know, people brush it off like it's nothing.
No.
And it's not nothing. I mean, like, even in Downton Abbey, when it comes up, like, you know.
Like with Jimmy and Thomas. No, with Jimmy and Thomas, they treat it with gravity.
Right, but no, but there's this whole thing where it's like, oh, well, people made passes at me all the time when I was in school.
Yeah, no, like, I will say, yeah, Robert does say
he
that.
He brushes it off like it's nothing. It's like, it's not nothing.
Well, I think that the point he was trying to make was not that Jimmy should chill out. I think the point he was trying to make was, well, we knew that Thomas
was gay
right. And you kind of have to test the waters to figure out if another
person's
gay. You
shouldn't necessarily report it as a crime because he's gay. You report it as a crime
because
he's sexually assaulting you. Yeah, I mean,
I listened to that episode and I went off about that. I was like, Thomas, you cannot do that.
But I think that is one of those things that just because you don't get a pass just because you're gay, right?
No.
It's still a sexual assault. Still not okay. So I think that holding everybody to the same standard makes the most sense.
Absolutely.
Anyway. All right. So what grade did you give this episode?
C-.
So I initially gave it a C-.
I think
but,
it's a D.
But it's a D. It's a full-on D. And here's...
Yeah, you don't
believe
a D+.
Well, I don't believe a D+, number one. But number two, I had given...
I agree.
The last one a C... And then I changed it to the last one a B-, and I changed it to a C-, and I'd given this one
a C-,
so I have to give it a D. Because
you gave
it
a C, Mom.
Eventually.
Yeah, but you said you made
out,
it a C-.
No, I originally gave it a B-.
I know you did.
And because I gave it a B-, and then I gave this episode initially a C-, I have to give a full grade lower. So because I gave the last one, I downgraded it to a C. I have to downgrade this to a D.
I do agree. I think it is a D.
It's a D.
I was thinking about that while I was grading the last episode. I was just like, you know what?
It's a full on fucking D. It's terrible.
It makes me so angry.
It makes me angry with the showrunners, the show, the writing.
The way that they frame, and I know I mentioned this in the last episode, and I kind of brushed on it in this episode, is that that obviously they want us to be on Agnes's side, but at the same time, they're treating the Percy Hallam relationship like they're forbidden lovers and they are finally getting their moment in the sun. Like,
Well, here's the thing. The idea that, because we're not on board with that subplot, that you are thinking, hey, Agnes should be with someone who's not her husband.
I think that at all.
Yeah, it's like, no!
Shouldn't be how it's supposed to be.
No, this is wrong. It's wrong. It's all wrong. Wrong!
If you don't see, if you haven't seen the Clue movie, you need to go see it.
Yes.
However, this
Madeline Kahn is amazing.
Madeline Kahn is amazing. And so is everybody in that movie.
Yes.
I am so disappointed.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this for the first and this time, screaming at the TV.
I expect we might get a full-on F episode in this season.
I think we will.
I'm not sure. We've got two episodes to go.
Oh, we will.
Looking forward to it. No, we have to wait. Because we just don't know yet. We haven't watched them. We need to watch. We need to record.
I vaguely remembered the abortion storyline in the last episode. And so
you think it might be better?
No. I'm just saying there might be some things I forgot.
I'm sure there are things I forgot.
But there's one thing I'll never forget.
No. We'll talk about it at the proper time and not now. So we hope.
I'm so sorry. This is such a long episode, but we really needed to vent our frustrations.
Yes, we hope.
You have to understand how this makes us feel.
Natalie, we're going to talk about how our feelings about this show some more. So save it for our next episode, please. We hope that you join us. And cheers.